listening to the Caffeinated Thoughts Podcast. Hey, happy Friday. This is Shane Vanderhart. Today, I want to talk about the federal tax reform effort happening at Congress. We're going to be seeing a bill drop here pretty soon. President Trump has trumped it up to get in the weeds a little bit on this issue. I'm joined by Peter Sepp, who's the president of the National Taxpayers Union, to kind of talk to us about the different details about the bill. But first, a word from our sponsors.
At American Principles Project, we believe that human dignity should be at the heart of public policy. We work in all 50 states and in Washington, D.C. to promote life, religious freedom, local control over education, authentic economic progress for working Americans, and a return to constitutional principles such as federalism. Want to help American Principles Project? Visit our website today, AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. That's AmericanPrinciples, P-L-E-S, Project.org. Sign up for email updates. Help us out. We want to work with you. That's AmericanPrinciplesProject.org.
Hi, this is Shane Vanderhart, editor of Caffeinated Thoughts. Should something, heaven forbid, happen to you, will your family be ready? One of the most important things you can do for your family is to make sure they are provided for after you're gone. Whether you're currently without life insurance or you're not happy with your current plan, Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America can help. Give Travis a call at 515-883-0029. That's 515-883-0029. Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. He can help you find the life insurance you need. And we're back. You've probably heard a lot of noise about the current tax reform push being done by congressional Republicans and President Trump. I wanted to talk to somebody who is knowledgeable about the bill, who's been around D.C. and has been around federal tax policy for a number of years. I talked to Pete Sepp, who's the president of the National Taxpayer Union, and hopefully he's going to kind of cut through the noise and give us the details, as we know them anyway, about what is currently being discussed, what's good, what's bad, what can be improved. And also he's going to share a little bit about his organization. So without further ado, here's my interview with Pete Sepp of the National Taxpayers Union. All right. Well, hey, thanks for talking to me. First of all, I just want to ask you a little bit about National Taxpayer Union. What are you guys about? How long you've been around? What do you do?
National Taxpayers Union is a nonprofit, nonpartisan citizen group founded all the way back in 1969 to work for lower, fairer, and simpler taxes, smaller government budgets, more accountability from public officials, and economic freedom. And by the age of my organization, it's obvious, but I should state that we have been involved in every major modern effort to comprehensively reform the tax system. Not only the 1986 reform effort, but several others before then that don't often make it into the history books, but were important in the final push.
So, ideally, what would you like to see? I mean, what would be your guys' end goal out of tax reform?
Well, there are end goals and there are political realities.
Right, yeah. This would be just your big, hairy, audacious goal.
The big, hairy, audacious goal would be to rebuild a tax system from the ground up, emphasizing something like a low single flat rate, either a flat rate income tax or a national retail sales tax on goods and services purchased at the cash register. Either one would dramatically simplify the system and make it more transparent. That's something we often overlook when we discuss tax fairness. We keep looking up and down the income scale when we should really be looking sideways. We should be thinking about, do people and businesses making roughly the same amount of money pay roughly the same amount of tax? They don't. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that our tax system is so complex, so difficult to understand, that we can't really fix it at one point in time and space and say, aha, everybody should be paying roughly this amount, and the fact that they aren't means there's something seriously wrong with the system.
Okay. So looking at the tax reform proposal that we currently see, what do you like about it? What maybe you think needs to be worked on?
Yes, now we're getting to political reality.
Right.
We're talking about the so-called Big Six framework between White House and congressional leaders. There's a lot to like in this measure, actually, and if it were to become law tomorrow with some of the details filled in, taxpayers could declare a huge victory. We have a proposal that has three tax rates instead of the current seven. The tax rates would range from 12 to 35% instead of the current rates, which go up to nearly 40% plus Obamacare surtaxes.
Right.
We would have a dramatically simpler filing process with a standard deduction that would be twice as large as it is today. So millions of Americans, in fact, 95% of tax filers would no longer feel compelled to itemize in order to keep more of their own money. So that's a huge gain. The corporate tax rate would go from 35% to 20%. You'd get rid of all of the tremendously complicated depreciation schedules mm-hmm. in favor of some kind of simplified regime for declaring business expenses. That would be a massive gain. You'd get rid of the death tax and the alternative minimum tax. All of these things are called for in the Big Six framework. And what we're likely to see next week, in fact, is the release of legislative language that will begin filling in some, not all, but some of the details of tax reform. That's coming out of the House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Kevin Brady and his colleagues.
So what does this do for, say, like earned income tax credit?
Well, the earned income credit would be reformed, and it would be made to fit with the new system. Think about, for example, when you have a doubled standard deduction, you're talking about a deduction that increases to about $24,000 for a married couple filing jointly. You'd also increase the dependent tax credit. The framework that I just mentioned calls for an extra $500 minimum for dependent tax credit increases. So when you think about it that way, all of the complexities of the earned income credit may be able to just float away, because you would be allowing folks who are currently claiming the very complex EIC to shift into a new system that makes it all a lot simpler.
Okay. Now, Democrats, they like to complain about saying, hey, this is a tax break for the rich. Are they accurate? Or does this help?
No.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, it certainly helps middle-class Americans. And when you take a look at the percentages of relief that would be delivered, in other words, how much of your current tax bill as a percentage would go down, not in monetary amounts, because that's a ridiculous comparison. Somebody who pays $1 million tax bill and gets a $100,000 tax break, that's a tax cut of 10%. Well, somebody who pays a $1,000 tax bill and it shrinks to $100,000, that's a 90% tax cut. The dollar amounts are massively different, but it has more meaning to the lower income individual. And that's what this plan aims to do. When we talk about this 12% tax rate, for example, people say, well, the current lowest tax rate is 10%. How can that be good for the middle class? It's good in several ways. That 12% rate is likely to extend all the way up to income levels that are currently covered by a 15% bracket. And when you combine that with a doubled standard deduction and a bigger dependent credit, middle class people are coming out way ahead.
Okay. So where do you think this, where would you like to see some improvements made, if possible?
I think we're going to have to focus on several areas. How much of the simplification benefits can we deliver for small businesses and large businesses alike? How much are we going to have to accommodate transition rules here if we switch over to a system that no longer has all of the complex depreciation schedules? If we want to deal with businesses that have taken out a lot of debt for interest and in expanding, and they're deducting that now. How do we make sure that they aren't harmed during the transition to a simpler system? Those are details that have to be worked out. I also think that we need to be considering how the Internal Revenue Service itself will look under this new system. Folks are still very concerned about the powers that that agency has and its ability to ruin, especially small business owners' lives, simply with an audit. We need to speak more forcefully, and I think Congress needs to respond with a plan that modernizes and reforms the Internal Revenue Service and limits its powers.
Definitely. So I'm self-employed. I'm just kind of curious, what does this current plan do for those who are self-employed? Does it help? Does it hurt? You know, what does it do for as far as the different types of ways we can itemize things?
Well, I think that when we're looking at small businesses, we have to consider, how do we make the Section 179 expensing deduction easier and simpler and even more broad-based than it already is? It's already a pretty good deal, but we ought to be able to make that even stronger and clearer for small businesses, just as we're doing expensing cleanups for large businesses. I think we also are going to have to accommodate the fact that self-employed folks still have one of the worst tax filing experiences of anybody. When you think about it, sure, large businesses have much bigger and more complex returns, but they have much bigger accounting departments to handle that kind of thing. There's only so much that a self-employed individual can do in terms of hiring a professional or taking a bunch of their own time to complete all of these forms before they say, well, forget it. I can't make this business work viably when I'm spending so much time just trying to comply with the law.
Right. Okay, and I've heard people concerned about how the tax reform plan affects, you know, those who are saving with 401ks. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, President Trump, of course, has said, and he has ruled out any kind of limitation or clawback on 401k contributions that people are making on a tax-deferred basis right now toward their own retirement. I think that it would still be to our advantage to at least streamline and simplify all of the tax rules surrounding retirement saving. There are a lot of complex givebacks and various rules surrounding contributions to IRAs. The same is true for sponsored 401k plans, even the so-called simple IRAs and self-employed IRAs are now far from simple. And
right.
So we need to be thinking about how all of that gets streamlined. I know that several proposals before the Ways and Means Committee have tried concentrating on how do we combine all of these various limits and deductibility amounts and age qualifications into something that makes sense across the board. You know, that's what we really have to do with tax reform, is think about how many layers of different laws were added during different years as responses to various changes in the economy. You know, that's how the Roth IRA was born, because there were so many people who wanted the ability to have the earnings tax-free, but they couldn't necessarily make a deduction up front. Well, what do you do for those folks? You create something like a Roth IRA. When corporate pension plans were really vanishing from so many American businesses, 401ks came into existence. Those things need to all be taken account for, and Congress needs to just create a rule across the board for retirement savers, regardless of how they're employed or where they're employed.
And we just learned, kind of shifting gears a little bit, that the current IRS commissioner is retiring. Thoughts
yes.
on who should replace him?
Well, of course, the acting commissioner will be the Deputy Secretary of the Treasury for Tax Policy. Now, I think what we need to consider with a new IRS commissioner is a new IRS as well. If we have somebody in charge who is given the current apparatus, no matter who it is, they're going to have a huge challenge. But I also think that bringing someone else from the private sector who also has experience with taxpayer rights issues might be a good choice here. Perhaps a tax attorney who has represented citizens before the IRS, an enrolled agent, which is rather like a tax attorney but has mm-hmm. been certified to practice before tax courts and other entities. Those kinds of things would be important qualifications for an IRS commissioner, as would someone who is committed to enforcing current taxpayer protections in things like the IRS Restructuring and Reform Act, which we fought for and won almost 20 years ago, but is still not being properly implemented.
Great. Well, hey, last question. Where can people learn more about National Taxpayer Union?
They can go online at ntu.org. If you're interested in information on IRS reform, I recently gave testimony before the Subcommittee on Oversight in the House of Representatives. That was September 13th. That would be a neat place to start. We also have a tax reform hub you can directly click on our website.
Well, hey, Pete, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Hey, take care. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, and that concludes this episode of the Caffeinated Thoughts podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. I'd like to encourage you, if you're listening to this podcast through some other means other than on our website, please go check out caffeinatedthoughts.com. You can catch all of our daily updates, sign up for an email so you don't miss a single one. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We'd love to have you follow along with us and also leave a comment, too. We'd love to hear from you. Hey, this is Shane Vanderhart. I hope you have a great weekend. Until next time, my friends, take care.